Welcome to the Hardwater Fishing Show with your hosts, Jeff Byboth and Jason Killaby. We talk tactics, gear, and ice fishing legends.
Welcome back, everybody. Today we're on episode 5 of the Hardwater Fishing Show. We'd like to thank all our listeners. We're at over 200 downloads. We've increased almost 100 downloads since the last show, so that's pretty awesome. I'm here today with my buddy Jeff. We're going to talk about some walleye lures and some various other things, some news and some fishing. Actually, I think we have a fishing report with information this time versus just that some guy went fishing.
Yes, we have some guy went fishing, and we have real fishing reports this time, both.
So I'm pretty excited about that. But we also need to, Jeff, we need some beverages, huh?
Absolutely. I cannot start without a beverage. So tonight, straight from Minnesota, I have the Surly Hell. It is one of my favorites. So I'm going to go ahead and get that started right now.
Is that a dark beer, Jeff, or what is that?
It is not a dark beer. It is lighter.
It's like a lager.
Just, I don't know. Yeah, it's just it says German mother a beer a German mother well, would it, drink.
That sounds it's really good. About perfect for you. That's awesome. So I'm drinking something a little stronger than beer tonight. I've got, and it doesn't make a fizzing noise. So I'm drinking a little Canadian Windsor tonight with a little Pepsi. So I went a little stronger this evening.
Canadian Windsor. Nice. Well, at least it beats your water that you had last week.
It does. I have to make up for last week. So tell me of the fishing report. You actually got to go fishing this weekend. Is that accurate or is that just fake news?
That is accurate. I was on the ice this weekend.
And how'd it go?
So I'm going to call this the classy rookie mistake.
You are the rookie that never dies.
So we went up.
Hopefully.
So we went. Yeah, hopefully. I'm not planning on dying. I hope not. So went up Friday night to my favorite lake, and I'm just going to not name it because I don't know. I like to protect my lakes. It was kind of a rush on Friday night. We got up there late. We had to transfer cars, right? So I put all my stuff in my car, went over to my brother-in-law Brian's and transferred it to his car, and then we drove up to the cabin. In the transferring, the hummingbird made it to my car, but not into Brian's car.
Good Lord.
I did not realize this until we got to the cabin, and I said, I need to plug my hummingbird in to charge it, because this is the first time I've had it out. So I go into Brian's car to get the hummingbird, and it's not there.
So what'd you do?
Old school fishing. We went in blind.
I think I would have went and bought one and then returned it.
Well, now Brian has one and Derek, the other guy we were fishing with, has one. So we had one to mark. I just couldn't use it. And, you know, when Brian went to fish out his hole or do something else, I might have stolen his a couple times, his F8.
That's tough. So. That's tough. All right. So did you catch any fish?
Yep. We caught a few fish. It was really, really slow. So it was one of those trips where it starts out really fast, right? We're out there for like 20 minutes and Brian drags in a 14-inch walleye. Nice walleye. It's a good way to start.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely.
And Jay, you know where we're fishing. You've fished with me before in the same spot.
I have fished in that particularly undisclosed location on a lake that we shall not name.
Yes, but we both fished in the same spot before. Yep. We've been there. Although we were not in the spot that we usually are. Because there was open water.
Well, you could have drug a boat out there or something.
So, I mean, I was a little concerned because we didn't go the weekend before because there was open water. But, you know, we went up there. We get up in the morning on Saturday morning and we go out, take a few steps, drill a hole. We're talking a solid 8-10 inches of ice there where we were.
Oh, wow. That's good.
So we're feeling pretty good, but we can still look over to the point where we usually fish, and there's still open water over there. You know, I mean, we're talking hundreds of yards away. Yeah. I mean, probably even like a quarter mile across the bay. But, you know, when you can see open water, you're not going to be like, oh, let's just run around and go crazy, right? Throughout the day, we were working our way towards where we really wanted to fish, which was close to the deeper water. So over the course of, I'll say we got out there about 8:30 because we could have got out there earlier. However, the bait shop closes at 10 o'clock p.m. Remember how I said we were kind of rushing around Friday night?
Yep.
We didn't get to the bait shop before it closed. So Saturday morning, we had to go get minnows. We get out there, and I would say by noon, we had worked as far out as we could. So we were all the way over to that point, getting pretty close to where the open water was. So we're drilling holes, and I'm hitting 10 inches, 10 inches. And then we're walking like 15, 20 steps, drill a hole, 15, 20 steps, drill a hole. So we did 10 inches, 8 inches, another 10 steps, 6 inches. And that's where I stopped. That was, it was massively going from 10 inches, about every 10 steps, it was losing it 2 inches. So we didn't get to fish where we wanted to fish. And I think, and I don't know if this is true, but I read some things about the way the lakes froze this year and when the water turned over. And they said the deeper spots, and we were trying to fish the deeper spot, right? Because we were fishing in maybe 6 to 10 feet of water. And where we wanted to fish was more like 12 to 14 feet of water. What they were saying was the way the lakes turned over, that the warm water like went up from the deep areas and kind of melted some of that ice or made it bad. Huh. Now, this sounds more like rumor than reality. I don't know the science behind it.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows on that deal?
This lake that we fish, my brother-in-law, I mean, fished it when he was 5. I mean, they've had a cabin on this lake. His grandparents had a cabin on this lake. And he's never seen it freeze like this before.
Hmm, weird.
I mean, we went out there a few years ago and there was 4 inches of ice in front of his cabin and 8 inches of ice on the point where we wanted to fish.
So what were you using for lures? So I'm going to take you back a bit. You're wandering.
Wandering the desert.
Trolling the flats, as they say. Trolling the flats.
What
kind of lures were you catching stuff on? What were you using? Like waxies, or you said you got minnows. What'd you have rolling?
Yep, so we went to the bait shop, we got waxies, and we got shiners, and we got a scoop of crappie minnows. When we first got out there, I used, again, back to Dave Gens, one of my favorite fisher guys. Last year, he had these snowball jigs. It's a clam jig. It's a tungsten jig. It's like a, I don't know, number 6 hook, I think. Pretty small, right? But it's got kind of like a, it almost looks like it's got sugar on it. It kind of is crystallized sugar and they're neon colors. So I was using a white and pink, basically jig, tungsten jig, with a minnow on it. The other guys were using frosty spoons. Do you know what a frosty spoon is?
Yep.
So just a little frosty spoon, like a small spoon. It's white and pink is what we usually use. It's the lure of choice on that lake. I mean, I've caught so many fish on that lake on that same lure. I mean, tons of times. Limited out. I remember one time we limited out and watched the Vikings football game by noon. You know, I mean, we've done well with these.
But you didn't do that day.
We did not do that this day. We caught the one walleye. We caught some sunnies. And we caught some perch. And when I say we, I mean the other guys.
Okay.
Now, they had Vexlars, and I had my
You just got nothing. To stare at the hole.
I had nothing. In fact, some of the other guys were up there, because it wasn't just us. He'd go, "Good morning, Vexlarians," and Jeff.
Well, you only make that mistake once or twice before you... That'll be the first thing you put your hands on when you leave the car.
So some other things that I learned while I was there, we talked about these inline reels before. You know what those are, Jay?
Yes. Yep.
You know, no line twist. So I'm like, my brother-in-law Brian says, "Hey, I've got one of those." I'm like, "Let me try it out. I want to try one of these things out fishing slow." He has one in his pack. So I put one of these little tungsten jigs on the end of mine because I didn't like what he had on there. I put a waxy on there because that's what we did catch fish on was waxy. The minnows and the shiners didn't work. I put this down the hole, and it's a frable one. I mean, it's a kind of cheapy thing. I don't know. The reel was kind of falling off a little bit. It was a, what's that expensive rod brand? Totally.
There's a lot of those. St. Croix or something else like that.
St. Croix. Yep. So it's on a St. Croix rod, but it's like a frable inline reel, you know, kind of economy version of these things. Probably the $20 one, not the $100 one that we talked about before. I put it down the hole and wham, get a hit like right away, right? Well, guess what? These things have no drag.
Oh, no.
You can only just reel it in or let the line go. I don't know if it was a northern or a walleye. I like to think it was a walleye, not a northern, because it fought like a walleye, but, you know, we don't really know.
Can't, like, put a finger on the spool to help drag it?
Well, and it was a kind of an ultralight deal, right? Because I think these things are more made for panfish. I don't know. I mean, it just, the reel almost fell off the rod because the rod wasn't attached to the reel very well.
It sounds like some operator error. I hate to blame the reel for the guy running it.
Well, what it ended up was, it ended up with me breaking the line, me taking the reel, throwing it on the ice, and screaming some four-letter words. That's how it
sounds
ended.
About right. That's great. So you almost caught a big fish, but you didn't. Is that the summary? Okay.
But I didn't. Yeah, so if it was the line twist, it didn't twist, and I got it, but the reel wasn't.
I think we need more research on those yet. I'm not ready to completely discount them.
I think I'm discounting the cheap ones. I'm discounting the cheap ones.
I did get a new ice fishing reel for Christmas. Here, we celebrated Christmas last week, and I got a new Fluger ice fishing reel. So I'm kind of excited to get that dog out.
Ooh, the president?
I think it is. Yeah.
Probably. Ooh, yeah, those are nice, Jay.
Yeah. So, nice. You know, I'm trying to get away from the ones that came with all my $15 combos, you know. So trying to slowly upgrade the fleet one at a time. But, all right.
Yeah, and I think that's important. You look at that reel that I used, and I lost it because of the reel. So, I do have one more story about this fishing trip,
okay,
and then we can move on.
See, I'm still a little salty about the ice fishing trip, and I haven't yet forgiven you about the thing you went to last week. The
St. Paul Ice Fishing Show?
Yeah, that. I blocked the name out of it. I'm so upset. So, I don't really like talking about all this.
I am going to go ice fishing this weekend, too, so...
I think I am too, but I might go pheasant hunting instead. So that's kind of a tough choice. Ooh, I might try to do both, and we'll see how that goes.
So you remember we talked about this point, right? Open water. So it's like 1:30 or 2 o'clock, about the time that we're kind of giving up and maybe heading home because we had things to do at home. So we're sitting there, and we see this two-up snowmobile pulling a shack come out in the ice, right? And he's cruising towards the point. And I'm sitting there in my fishing spot, and I look over to Brian, and I'm like, he's not going to go over there, right? He keeps on going. At this point, I'm thinking, I might have to be rescuing somebody.
Looking around for your rope.
Yeah, I was looking for my rope, because... I mean, we were far enough where it wasn't like I was going to get there in a couple minutes, but, you know, we could get there if they go through.
Yeah, you get there eventually. Yep.
Yeah. So we see him go right to the point, like way past where I drilled holes and it was going down to 6 inches. I mean, they drove out there with their snowmobile and I see him. They didn't test any holes, didn't do anything. He just drove out there. And so I see him stop. And the guy gets off and pulls the ice auger out. I mean, I can't quite hear it. They're a little bit of ways away. I see them put the ice auger back on the snowmobile and then drive away. So I did end up talking to this fellow because we had ice trolled all the way across the bay, right? He's like, yeah, we got over there and I got off the sled and the ice was a cracking super hard. And I drilled a hole and I said, we got to get out of here. And they left. So
what a bunch of idiots though.
Yeah.
I mean, God bless them. But to this time of year to just unless they had been out there earlier, you know, but to just go there and not kind of check your way out, boy, so people die.
I know, and you figure that snowmobile between two guys and the snowmobile and the sled, I mean, you're talking
100 yeah.
pounds easy.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, maybe they're light guys, but, you know, you and I in a snowmobile.
It's never a comfortable situation, I can tell you that much.
All right, so this is what I learned, the fishing report. The only other fishing report, my brother went to Lake Osakis.
Mm-hmm.
There was solid walking ice and no fish.
So I have a few reports from down here. They are starting to catch some fish. The ice is ranging. So like some guys were up on Clear Lake, which is kind of northeast Iowa, northern Iowa is probably the biggest destination around here.
We fished that lake before together, Jay.
Yeah, we did. Yep, we did. And so the ice is ranging from 1 to 4 inches. So 4 inches is great. One's not.
One's not good at all.
So, but I mean, people are fishing out there and they're doing good. They're doing pretty good. I mean, the bite's not great, but they're catching some fish. Around by me, a lot of your ponds and smaller backwaters are running 3 to 4 inches of ice. So people are out. The lakes, the couple lakes that I like to fish around here aren't froze over yet. So, I'm still kind of holding off until my spots go. I do want to do some more scouting this year, but it's probably early ice is probably not the time to do that. So that's my ice report from Iowa. Now the river outside my house is froze over, but I wouldn't walk on it yet. And I haven't heard the snowmobiles. They're usually the first ones to go. They zip along the shoreline there about 90.
So I do have one other fishing report that I thought was interesting. So I don't know if you ever fished this lake by my house, but Pelican Lake, it's in Wright County. Have you ever fished that lake with me, Jay?
Yeah, I think you've talked to me, but I don't think I've ever fished it with you.
So 3 or 4 years ago, it froze out, right? The DNR has been trying to drain this lake down to manage it for waterfall. It's a lake, might be a loose term, right? So I'm seeing reports that people are fishing out there again. I don't know if they're catching fish, but I'm seeing reports that people are out there. So
cool.
Just kind of an interesting thing. I think that might be what I hit up this weekend on Saturday.
All right. Very cool. So I'm looking at what you want to talk about, and I'm seeing something called walleye cakes for Christmas. I have no idea what you're talking about. So tell me about that. What is walleye cakes for Christmas?
Yeah.
Is it like Toys for Tots or something?
Well, it's like it's a Christmas song. All I want for Christmas is walleye cakes.
Okay, moving on.
No. No. Okay, so this is like under
current events. Okay.
This is current events. We're in current events. Walleye cakes for Christmas. Uh-huh. It's Christmas. I'm making walleye cakes for Christmas. So my family, we've started this tradition where we do appetizers, and I decided I'm making walleye cakes. That was my announcement.
Like a crab cake, but walleye.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that sounds good. Are you going to put the recipe on the blog?
Yeah, I'll do that. Well, let's try it out first.
I think you should put it on there. Everybody's going to change it anyway.
Yeah, and it's not like I didn't just get it from some other website and probably change it myself.
You better attribute your source. We don't want to be accused of plagiarism.
Yeah, and I probably took out some of the things that I'm like, I don't know. That's too much work, or, you know, the fluffy stuff that you don't really need. So that's what I know about walleye cakes for Christmas. Okay. It's not a song. Okay. It's a food.
All right. Sounds good. So we got an ice report from Dave, too, on this current events.
Yeah. I feel like we're starting to, you know, bring in the people here. I mean, I got that. You saw that this morning.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. We're starting to get, our viewers are starting to give us information, which is our viewers, the listeners, I guess. We're not YouTubers. We could add a video component to this, but I don't know that would increase viewership at all or listenership. It'd probably decrease it dramatically. I'd have to put a shirt on.
A couple guys with faces for radio.
Clearly, face for radio. And I'd have to wear a shirt and stuff when I record this. So, going to bring the guns out. So Dave sent us an email. and it looks like he said it's ice is pretty sketchy up by him, and he is up in the Park Rapids area, right? And tell me about this ice recovery he was talking about.
So I'm assuming this is the island out in front of his cabin, right, or his place. I got to believe that it sounds like a ranger with tracks and a house went through the ice right in front of his place out there. So,
now that,
and they're pretty far north.
A high dollar outfit kind of sinking to the bottom of the lake. A ranger in tracks. Yeah. I mean, that's not cheap in a house, so. Hopefully everybody was okay. I didn't hear anybody got killed up there, so that's good. Glad to hear that.
No, but there has been some reports. So,
I know.
I mean,
just
gotta be
test
careful
that ice, I mean, and you know we're still a ways off from ice being safe everywhere. So, well, it's never safe everywhere. I should say that right away. It's never always safe.
Yes, never safe anywhere.
You can have 2 feet of ice, and you have an ice heave and some open water all of a sudden, and there you go. So, you always got to be aware.
Yep, for sure. So, yeah, and he actually said up on Leech, too, there was, you know, people going through, but that doesn't seem like...
Yeah, that... Leech would, so, I think, would be pretty sketchy yet, so...
So, and I just had some other... I mean, you look on Facebook, I love my fishing sites, and they're always talking about, you know, tons of different fishing reports. Red Lake seems to be the most popular right now, but Mille Lacs is going, too, pretty strong. Walkout, from what I hear.
And they're catching, it looks like some walleyes, but I've been seeing a lot of perch getting caught kind of early season yet. So kind of exciting. Well, it's not, I guess it is kind of early season.
I think, you know, sometimes this maybe wouldn't be as early as the ice has been so sketchy. I mean, I've been that same spot with open water. I've been ice fishing out there the weekend before Thanksgiving and it's the weekend before Christmas.
But then a couple years ago, we were up there in January and we weren't sure we were going to have ice. So, I mean, it's, you know, the global climate change, if you believe it or not, doesn't really matter. I just think things cycle and we've had a couple of years with slow ice. So I think that's probably why everybody's so pumped this year. We're getting some ice actually earlier than we have in the last couple of years.
Yeah. And I feel like, I don't know what it is this year, but the Facebook has really turned into the forums. I mean, it's really gotten big this year, and I feel like that really has whipped up a lot of interest and you know, the social media aspect about, you know, you see a bunch of people catching big walleyes, it gets a lot more people excited.
You know, that's an interesting note, kind of on a side note, is I've always followed the forums over the last couple of years. They're the outdoor forum, the Minnesota, what's the name of that? It was really big for a lot of years.
Fishing
Minnesota.
Fishing Minnesota, yep. And then there's that other
Fishing
one.
Fishing Minnesota, you know, yep. And I've seen that taper off, and as people have kind of migrated to Facebook for that kind of instant communication about the topics they want, I've seen those forums die, and I've seen that in other areas, too, that I kind of follow some of the automotive stuff. So, yeah, a lot of your current news is all coming off Facebook, and a lot of...
just so easy to put pictures and reports, and you know, I mean, it's so much better and interactive than, you know, a forum.
And most forums, though, depends on the forum, but most of them I've seen on Facebook that are serious forums are Facebook pages. They don't allow what we call hot spotting, so you could post on there, tell me where to go on this lake, and people aren't. They might do that by private message, but they're not going to post on there, hey, I went to Pelican Lake and caught all these fish in 12 feet of water out in front of Bob's cabin. They're not going to put that. So don't ask that type of information, but they might help you out with bait or kind of where things are starting to heat up or what the ice fishing stuff, you know, what the ice reports are and stuff. You're going to find information, but boy, if you had a nickel for every time someone said, heading up to Lake of the Woods this weekend, what should I use? A lure. Try a lure. And some bait.
My favorite is when they show the map and then they scratch out parts of the map. Yeah. Have you seen these on there? Like, they'll put a map and say, where should I fish? But then they scratch out, like, most of the map. I don't know what's
it's
going
like,
on there.
You know, you got to do your research, but... you know, it's the, I don't know. Some of it I think is if you're a regular contributor to those forums, you know, and to those Facebook pages, you'll just like in real life, you'll start communicating with a particular group of people and then those people will help give you assistance and where to go and what to do. But if you just pop onto the forum and the first thing you say is, tell me exactly where you're fishing and exactly what you're using and exactly what time to go. you're not going to get much help.
Yeah. And broadcast it to the world. No, yes, absolutely not.
And then get pissy and call people names because they won't tell you what to do. So don't do that. Don't be a potato. Totally.
All right. So we better move on. I have one note in here. I'm going to try on Thursday. Cabela's has Brian Brosdahl, the bro, kind of the famous Fisher guy. He's in town here. So
great.
You
can tell us what he's doing and give us an update on that next time. That'd be great.
Yeah. So I'm hoping to get that.
Cool.
So I had some gear updates.
Okay.
Gear updates.
Yeah. Big Buddy cooker. You cooked some stuff.
Yeah. It didn't work.
For $30. It didn't work.
Well, it worked on the thing, and I did it outside because we fished outside this weekend. It was nice, and we didn't put up the shack, right? We trolled a nice hop or hole hop, so we didn't put it up. It doesn't work outside. It doesn't get hot enough. I stuck those venison brats on there for like 25 minutes.
And they were barely warm. Well, that sucks.
So, I mean, I kind of said, I'll try it once in the shack, but if that doesn't work, then it's kind of a no-go. It's just not worth bringing.
You could have put them in your pocket with a hand warmer and got them lukewarm.
Right. It's one of those things that I'll try it one more time and then it's never making the trip in the sled again. It's staying home.
Okay. And what else?
So I also had the Strike Master bait cooler. I bought this on clearance last year. Have you seen these, Jay?
Yeah.
It's really small. It's bigger than that thing we talked about before, the bait up, but it's smaller, but it's sealed, right? So you can put your bait in it at the bait shop and you can put it in your car and it's like all over the place. I've given this thing like a C. It worked okay, but when it froze up, the seal didn't want to shut and it was hard
there
to put the top on.
There is an insane amount of gear designed for ice fishing that doesn't appear to work when it gets cold. I mean, it's just drives me nuts. So I'm glad you bought it and it sucked and I didn't have to buy it. So that's good. Glad to hear.
Well, it was on clearance for like $5 last year. Brian, my brother-in-law, said, hey, probably why it was on clearance.
Yeah, it's still $5 wasted, so, but maybe you can use it for the summer.
So something I ordered, I don't have it yet. I ordered a speed wrench from Harbor Freight because I got like a 25% off coupon and it was like $7 or something.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to put my clam, it's not clam, I'm sorry, it's Eskimo ice anchor tool that's supposed to go on your cordless drill. So I'm going to hook that up to my speed wrench and see how that works.
Okay. Sounds good.
I don't really care to bring my drill out with me because we've talked about this before. I mean, it's just something to lug around. I don't like carry more than I have to. And the whole battery thing just kind of not my favorite. So we're going to try it out.
Sounds good.
How it works. I'll get it this week.
Okay.
Try it out this weekend.
Hey, if you don't put your shack up, you should just put the ice anchor in without the shacks and give us an update. All right, cool.
Okay.
Great.
We'll do that.
Good work.
All right. So the other thing I thought was interesting, and I saw this in one of the forums and I had downloaded it on my phone. There's this cool app that somebody wrote. It's the Ice Report app. So you put it on your phone and like this weekend when I was out, it uses GPS. And if you drill a hole and get ice depth, you can report it. So seems pretty cool and handy, right? Instead of just saying, saw this much ice here, you can kind of see where the ice is thick. However, I have mixed feelings because it also reveals where you're fishing,
so,
right? I can also...
Huh.
Which I mean, I like the safety. I don't know if I'm convinced I want to share where I'm fishing with everybody.
So you need to get like Dave Gentz and all these other pro fishermen to try this app out for us.
I will say, please, for free, just take it with you and I'll track
only you.
It seems
like a good ruse
and then
to
you
find
can tell
out
me
where
right where to go.
At. We should do that.
Right. I'll put a link and a screenshot on the on the site page. Because, you know, all the stuff we talk about, I'll update. Hopefully you guys are looking at the site page. It has lots of pictures and stuff. So I'll put that out there. But I'm not convinced I really want to share with people exactly where I'm fishing.
Well, so far I wouldn't follow you.
We've eliminated possibilities.
Your fishing reports need to get better before I think the masses will be following you around the lake.
All right.
So are we finally ready to talk?
We're about a half an hour.
What's that?
Yes. We've been talking for 30 minutes, and now it's time to talk
about
walleye
lures. Yeah, I feel like we're kind of leading people a little astray on this episode. So, but that's tough. So walleye lures, I have a list. It's interesting because we both made a list independently and they're very similar. So we both talked about,
I think we should, before your reveal, I think we should both take our list and list our number one through five together. So my number one is my true number one lure that I would use. If you said, Jeff, you can go to a lake and you get one lure to catch walleyes with, this is the lure I would take. Is that how you ranked your list, Jason?
No.
Oh.
But close. Okay.
I'll let you go and tell you your number one, and then I'll tell you my number one, and I'll tell you why it's my number one. So I'll let you go first.
I would say my number one is, and I don't know all the fancy names for these, but the Northland Tackle's Buckshot, the what I would call medium-sized yellowish-orange one with the glow white on the back. That's my number one. And I'll find a picture of it and send it to you so you can put it on the website. It might be the same one you have down. What's your number one?
My number one is the same as your number one, and I'm pretty sure it's because we've caught the biggest fish. My number one is the Buckshot Gold Perch by Northland. I mean, if you say, Jeff, you get one lure to fish for walleyes with, this is what I'm buying. This is what I'm bringing with.
I would say that's been the most consistent lure we've had over the last 5 years. Hands down.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hands down.
And sometimes different variations colors wise. I know they have different names, but that Northland midsize, I call it the midsize. I'm sure there's a number for it. There's a little one, a bigger one, and a monster one. And I kind of go probably the eighth.
I think it's the eighth.
And
ounce.
And that one, that size seems to have the best luck. It just seems to, it's such a consistent lure. The Buckshot, you can just rip that thing. You can just wiggle it a little bit if the fish are a lot more sensitive. And I think I've had my best luck with those with just the head of a minnow on them. Not the whole minnow, just the head of a minnow seems to be the premier, the best lure I've had for walleyes for a lot of years.
Yeah, you're right. The head is, because I mean, when we go to Canada, you don't bring live bait. And so it's all dead bait, but the fish don't care.
Yeah, so you end up with a pile of tails sitting there next to you and a thumbnail you don't want to put in your mouth. But but don't chew on that fingernail by the end of the day, I'll tell you that. But, you know, but the heads, right? I mean, that's what
salty.
Yeah, salty.
Salty.
But that's what you do. And if you had a buddy that would eat the tails, you'd be in business. But that's I would say my number one.
I am with you 100% as my number one.
So number two, my number two would be, honestly, is simply a colored hook and a small sinker a little bit above that and a minnow.
Interesting. I get it.
Yep. Usually the red hook. I think that those are kind of the two presentations I start with. If, you know, I go with the Buckshot, you got some aggression going on there with that lure. It's a little bit more of an aggressive presentation, you know, so I start with the whole minnow. Sometimes just I'm lazy to see if it works and I go to the head. And if none of that works, then I like to go, if I'm in Minnesota, to a live, and that's kind of a live bait presentation. It's not really a dead bait presentation, but then I'll go to just that live minnow, red hook, you know, kind of that minnow just doing its thing down there, kind of chilling out. That's usually where I go next.
Absolutely. Okay. So that's not my number two. It is on my list. I called it the dead stick with the bobber and the red hook, but that's my number four. It's on my list. But my number two is the chubby darter. You know what that is, Jay?
I bet it's probably your chubby.
Family show.
The chubby darter. The chubby darter. That's what I'm saying. The chubby. So, chubby darter.
Yeah. The chubby. So typically this is a small, you know, rapple looking thing. and it makes noise, has two treble hooks on it, and you know, just jig it, and it's pretty active. So when it falls, it kind of flutters back and forth and kind of darts around, and you jig it pretty aggressively. So caught a lot of walleyes on that. But they're usually not big, you know, not like big like a Rapala you'd use in the summer. And it's not Rapala brand. I'll put a picture of it on there. But that's one of my favorites.
And my number three actually was the Chubby Darter. Yeah, so that's pretty similar that way. And I've had good luck with those too. Those, you know, it's kind of the progression of things that you try. But it's definitely always on the list of events for sure. So you're number three.
My number three is the Stop Sign by JR Tackle. So I've actually found on the U.S. side of the Lake of the Woods, this is more effective. But it's very similar to, it's a spoon, kind of like a buckshot, but there's no shot, right? Like, it's more of a silent spoon. And then where the buckshot is kind of just a traditional kind of teardroppy spoon, the Stop Sign has a little more action to it, a little more wiggle to it. So a little more wave to it, but it's just a different thing. I've used those and caught many walleyes on it, so that's certainly in my top five. I call it number three.
So my number four, I put down the Rapala Jigging Wrap, and Rapala makes a couple of these, and I do like those. They have a tendency to get eaten by northerns, I would say. They seem to attract some northern action. More so than some of the other stuff. So just kind of something to be aware of with those. But they have so many hooks in them. They got like the treble hooks, and they got a butt hook and a nose hook, that when something gets them, you got it. And you better have a needle nose pliers around to get them untangled, because you got it. Whatever bites it, man, it's going to get a hold of it. So you don't, you know, those are kind of nice because there's no such thing really as a miss. It's hooked. And so there's some certain utility to that. And the hooks always come on those. I got to give a shout out to Rapala on these. Those hooks are always just sharp as heck on those. So they're a nice lure.
So you're saying even I could catch a fish on one of these?
I would say that if a fish bought and you did your kind of half attempt at a hook set, even you would hook that up.
Okay. All right.
So you're number four. Did you have a number four?
Yeah, I talked about number four. Oh, that's the just dead stick. I kind of referenced that. Sure. That's just, yeah.
So then my number five.
I was going to say something about the red hook. So I thought the red hook was because fish liked red, but somebody told me once that fish can't really see red, so they don't see the hook, and that's why red's popular. Again, no scientific research to back this up.
They can't see red.
just what I heard.
So if they can't see red, then why is the daredevil work?
I said no scientific backup. I just said that I heard this.
If we were the Pawn Star guys, we would say, I don't know much about this, but I know a guy that does. And we would have to call somebody.
And I bring a big magnifying glass, and I'd look at it and go, yes, they can't see red.
We're going to have to research that. Maybe we'll let you guys know next week if fish can or can't see red.
All right. So my last one I had was the tungsten jig with a waxy. And before this weekend, I probably wouldn't have done that, but that's what the walleyes were biting on this weekend. So that's why I put it
on
there.
I'd never leave having not caught a fish without pulling out the old Swedish pimple. Now, I don't know if I've ever caught a fish on a Swedish pimple, but they seem very popular. And so I don't feel like I have truly exhausted all options until I've tied that bad boy on and given it a try. And someday it'll pay off.
So it's like this, like you get skunked, you've gone all day, you've been on the ice from dawn till dusk. Well, and you're like, I'm like, Jay, we got to leave. And you're hold on.
I put the Swedish pimple on and you give it another 30 minutes. Yep. And then you call it. That's the swan song lure right there. You got to end the day with it if you haven't caught fish. It's just how it works. So there's also, you know, the glow jigs and all the different things you can buy, and a lot of the buckshots glow, and a lot of the lures you have available for walleye. I would just say, if I was going to give some advice on walleye lures, is you really want to think about what kind of presentation do you want, you know, with how the fish are biting. And if they're not biting one thing, you know, you either need to move or switch your presentation. Because just to sit there and do the same thing all day is an exercise in futility. So I always like to bring out stuff that gives me a varied presentation. You know, you can go noise, no noise, big, small, flashy, kind of a solitary presentation where it just kind of sits there and looks at stuff. You know, in those lures we talked about today, really, if you have those with you, you'll have that ability to go through all those different presentations. And, you know, sometimes it comes down to just color. Same lure, side by side, two different colors. One color is going to hit, one color is not. So I think, I don't know, how long do you give it, Jeff, before you change lures?
Well, it depends. So I usually have my standbys, like my number one, right? So you're going to start out with your glow perch, and you're going to try that. If you don't catch anything, I mean, I'm throwing the tackle box at them, right? I mean, if I fish with that for a while and don't catch anything, then I switch and switch and switch and switch and switch for an hour or two until I don't get anything. If I've moved holes, if I've been mobile and I switch, throw my tackle box at them, at some point you decide the fishing's just slow.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you move and you work it, it's just slow. Then I just go back to my one or two and I say, it's time to crack a beer and relax, and the fish aren't biting, but I'm still going to hang out and fish. That's kind of how.
Yeah, I agree with that. The one thing I do too is, you know, and I think a lot of guys do this. I'll keep like three poles, right? Four poles rigged up with different kind of stuff. And so when you're sitting there and you get a strong mark comes off the bottom or slams in and stares at your stuff and you're jigging away and nothing happens. And then I'll get that thing out and I'll slam down another lure of a different type presentation to try to entice a bite, thinking, okay, maybe I need a different color or different size or some sort of different thing. So I'll do that quite a bit. And sometimes that pays off because they're not enticed. They came in to look at what I had, but they weren't really buying it yet. And so sometimes a quick switch will get them on the hook.
Yeah, and I definitely believe in having multiple poles and, you know, leave one in there while you're switching the other one and switching back and forth and, you know, having a dead stick in there all the time. I mean, you get two poles, you might as well use
it. Yeah, if you're fishing by yourself or if you're outside, it's hard in a portable shack, really. The flip overs to have that going, but
yeah,
I always like to have that second pole ready or steal one from the guy next year, whatever you need to do to put.
Yeah, you're like, hey, is that your president? Oh, I can borrow your fluke.
Well, there was years I never used my own poles back in the day, right? I just show up with some because I had them and I'd fish with Sean, with Ole, and he'd always look over and I'd have this big mess and he'd just hand me a pole. So it kind of, you know, maybe the last 5 years I've actually started bringing my own stuff on our trips because I just used his. worked out good.
Well, it probably was better. It was probably better than anything.
He always has a lot better equipment than I ever did. So I might as well use his stuff.
You weren't going to get crappy stuff from
Sean.
That's for sure.
He buys quality stuff, which I appreciate, especially when I get to use it. What else we got on walleye lures? I would just say bait wise. Interestingly, you know, we like with minnows. I mean, sometimes the live bait's nice, but I don't know that it's a must. I think the frozen bait is sometimes a really good alternative, to that. And if you do a lot of summer fishing and you plan ahead, you can take that bait after those minnows after you're done fishing in the summer, you know, every time you're out, instead of just throwing them in the weeds or giving them to somebody, take them home and freeze them. If you do that, you got your bait for most of your winter fishing. And it doesn't cost you anything extra.
Absolutely.
Or if you knew somebody that ran a bait shop and cleaned out their minnow tank, that's another good way to do it. But we won't mention any names on that, but that's another good way to get
a great way. It does work. It's great. Yep. great.
And
great
don't put live minnows in the freezer to freeze when your kids are around either. I think that's not a good situation. Just a tidbit.
Yeah, I mean, you can go crazy buying all these lures too. And I mean, I have my go-tos when we listed our top five, but, you can only try so many. I mean, you don't want to bring out the extra trailer for your lures either. I mean, you want to have a good array, but you don't need 100 different.
And I think ones. I've said this before. I think the key of any of this is making sure you have sharp hooks on whatever bait you're using.
Yep, and I bring a hook sharpener out with me. I usually have one in my tackle
Good to
bag,
know.
So
good to know. I'll quit bringing one.
Don't worry, you can drop it down a hole soon. Yep. So.
All right. Well, anything else on lures, Jeff, for walleyes?
No, I think we're good. I think we're good. And you know, tonight's story, the ice fishing legend is a little different tonight. I actually have my neighbor, Steve, who's been listening to the podcast. He is going to be talking about his first ice fishing experience. So we're going to.
Well, that's awesome. Let's have Steve do that. That should be great. Let's take a listen.
Yeah. So we'll play that next.
This is a brand new segment on Hard Water called "There's a Guy That Has Ice Fished Twice in His Life and Doesn't Know Anything About Ice Fishing" segment.
I'm impressed you've been fishing twice.
Right. And here is my Lonely Blonde.
Ooh, very nice. Cap popping. I like it.
So what are we talking about today, Jeff?
So today I went to the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show. And I saw a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. I bought the tip-up. You saw the tip-up I bought.
I did.
What did you think about that?
Well, I was amazed by the concept of the fact that you do not have to hold the pole, and you could just sit around and, like, maybe do other things.
Like drink beer?
Perhaps drink beer. And I automatically got more excited about ice fishing. Again, I do not ice fish, but when I saw a tip-up, I'm like, I might be intrigued by this. So what does a tip-up do, Jeff?
So a tip-up, you take a line, you hook a bait on the end of it, and just put it down the bottom of the hole.
So I don't have to sit there and pretend like I care about what's happening.
Absolutely not. You don't have to care what happens. You set it up, and then you open your beer.
So let's think about all the things I can do while I'm not caring about what's happening in that ice hole. Can I watch football?
On your phone, yeah, sure. I mean, if you bring your phone out, sure.
And in the first podcast, I think you can watch Seinfeld.
You can watch Seinfeld.
Okay.
Just be careful because your phone does fit down the hole.
All right. Can I cook chili?
I guess if you bring the ingredients. I brought a new cooker
for my
heater.
Okay.
I don't know if you could cook a lot of chili on that, but maybe a little bit.
All right. So can we play poker? Can we drink beer?
Yes. All those things you can do.
See, I'm fundamentally more interested in ice fishing. Like, your podcast is successful in converting me into considering ice fishing.
So have you seen these wheelhouses?
I have no clue what a wheelhouse is.
So a wheelhouse is like a camper that you put on the ice. Like a recreational vehicle.
Okay.
Not an RV, not like a motorhome, but like a trailer.
Okay.
And it has holes in the floor.
Okay.
But it has like a TV.
Oh, yes.
And a couch.
I'm familiar with TVs.
TVs and a couch.
Familiar with couches.
So you could watch TV, say like football.
Right.
Basketball, hockey.
And then if this said flag pops up, then I just, if I want to or if I don't want to, I could just like do what?
Pull the fish out of the hole.
Huh.
That you'd be like, goal, hockey. And you could walk over to the ice hole, pull the fish out,
right.
And right. Then go back to watching.
Okay. So, I'm into it.
Okay. So that's it. That's the tip up.
We covered tip up. So I did listen to one podcast, and I understand that stories are part of this. So I went ice fishing, I think I've said twice. My dad, God bless him. We're not supposed to swear, but God's okay. It's like,
God's not swearing. God bless him. That's not swearing. Right. Pretty sure we said God bless him already.
Right, and we're using it appropriately, so it's not in vain, right?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
So my dad bought a clam. Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah, clam. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So he bought a clam, and me and my dad and my sister, we're going to go into Alexandria, and we're going to go ice fishing.
Yeah.
And, like, I was adamant that this is what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
So my dad goes big, and he gets a clam, and we're in Alexandria, and he drives out. He puts up the clam, and, like, I'm not doing any of this, right? Like,
yeah.
So we get out there, and it's cold as, we're not supposed to swear, it's very cold.
Very cold.
It's very cold. So we get out there, and we got the gear on, and we got the propane tank in.
Yep.
Which I learned on the last podcast, apparently propane can even power an auger. Totally. But this was powering a heater. And so we were in the clam, and my dad drilled a couple holes. And I've got something that I think is called a skimmer.
Yeah.
Oh, Jeff,
yeah.
Is that a thing?
Skimmer, you got to get the slush out of the hole.
Yes.
Totally. Skimmer.
And do you even, like, I think we put vegetable oil in our hole. Is that a thing?
So I've heard of this, but okay. I've never actually done that. This is okay. The first time I've heard it in practice done. But I've heard that it keeps the ice out of the hole.
Correct. So my dad is adamant that if you put a little bit of vegetable oil in the hole, that it prevents slushing, which is a good thing, because the first time I used the skimmer, I was not familiar with the fact that you should continue to hold on to the skimmer, and then it fell into the water.
Yes, that does.
So happen. The vegetable oil mattered, because then we no longer had a skimmer.
Yeah, because it falls on the hole, it's right. Gone. Yeah,
it's done. So, I mean, that was gone. So that was like the first 5 minutes, skimmer's
yep.
done.
Yep.
And then, like, you know, the clam, it was kind of cold in there still. And there's an odor that gets put off by the heater, oh, I feel
yeah,
like.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not a heater. So what's happening? I'm not a heater. I mean, I'm not an ice fisher.
Yeah.
So what's happening there?
Is
there
it's just a smell. I mean, right. I mean, actually, so I have this Buddy heater, right?
Yep.
It doesn't smell like those old ones did.
Okay. Is this the one you cook hot dogs on?
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
So the old ones had a smell that the new ones don't really have anymore. I mean, the old ones had a smell. The new ones, not so much. But
like,
we're talking about not last week, right? We're talking about...
Oh, it was years ago.
Yeah.
Right. Years ago.
So yep. Gear has taken progress since then.
Sure.
Yes.
Yep. So, yes, we're down to skimmer. There's a stench in the clam. And we're not catching fish. We don't have tip-ups, which I just learned about.
Yeah.
And I'm done with it. Yeah, I'm not having fun.
Yeah, yeah. You're not catching fish either.
We're not catching fish. Yeah. And my sister and I are like, we're going to go ahead and sit in the car and listen to music while my dad's hanging on the clam. And the next weekend, my dad sold the clam.
That was one and done. That's awesome.
So that's my ice fishing story.
Yeah, that's a good story. I like it. I mean, I don't like it because then you stopped fishing.
Right.
But probably had more to do with not catching fish.
Well, that's why I'm on this podcast.
Yeah.
This segment of podcast is called something about some guy who doesn't ice fish and you're trying to tell him how to ice fish. And that's my story.
That's your story. Well, we'll have to have you back again.
All right.
Talk about this.
Well, thanks for having me on. Hard water.
There we go.
Yeah, that was a great story. It's nice to hear, you know, we've been ice fishing for so many years. It's nice to hear a story from a guy who just did it.
That was really nice of him to share that. You know, everybody has their first time experience, so that was great.
First time. I feel like we're going to dub in that song, you know, from the 70s feels like the first time. Yeah, there you
go. We could have that. That could be our closing music for today.
I don't think we're licensed for that. I cannot afford that. So I think we'll stick with our standard.
That sounds great. Music. So what are we going to talk about next time?
As usual, Jason, I have made no plans.
You know,
so
who would have thought that I would be the planner in this relationship? So I think we're still in the first part of the season. I think I would like to talk about, with your agreement, of course, is we should talk about those short people in our lives and how to get them out fishing. But kids, not wives. Because both of our wives are pretty short.
Yes, but
the
true.
Kids, we should talk about how do you get your kids out fishing? For all you dads out there, you realize that the more time you can spend with your kids, they grow up fast, it's great, and get them out fishing. But then it also allows you an opportunity to purchase more equipment for the children. This is for the children, dear. And so that's...
For the children. They need new rods, new reels, ice jacks,
snowmobiles, side-by-sides. It opens up a whole other world when it's for the children. And so we're going to... Well, let's talk about how to keep the little people comfortable and how to get them engaged. And let's talk about that and our experiences with that, because we've both done
it. I love it. Yeah, I love it. And I'm telling you, I love to catch fish, but... To see the excitement on my kids when they catch a fish, I mean, their excitement is twice as big as anything I could ever get excited about. I mean,
it's awesome. And you're a lot bigger person than I am for that, because I'm happy they've caught a big fish, but I'm also a little pissed off that I didn't get to catch it. So I'm not probably as nice a person as you are, because I'm like, damn it, I really would like to catch a big fish. But yeah, I'm happy for you. So we'll talk about that more next week.
So we'll end the show with. Jeff is a nicer person than Jason. All right. Talk to you next week.